It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, welcome to Hardline. Joe Beamer is out. I am David Bellavia, and I am in. And if I'm going to talk politics for 2 hours, I've only talked to this guy one time. I was absolutely blown away. Honest, funny, super, super smart. Getting a lot of getting a bang for your buck out there at Buffalo State. I'm talking to political science professor, Professor Iacobucci on politics. Sir, how are you?
I am well. You're too kind. How is Milwaukee?
Well, that's the problem. Once you're in Milwaukee, you evidently are punished to stay in Milwaukee because this travel nightmare after Friday. I mean, listen, I've had some Christmas travel. I'm sure you've been in a couple airplanes on some busy days. I've never seen anything like this. God bless our airline people. They're trying to fix it. But it is just a nightmare. So many good people out there working hard. But I want to ask you about, today was supposed to be the day that Joe Biden, of course, experts close to the family, negotiations had started. They were going to get the president off the ticket as soon as today. What happened this weekend? And when is this conversation finally go away?
Well, we're on this sort of roller coaster ride, right? We had the first debate and Joe Biden struggled so mightily. And then it was, well, he's got to get out of the race. And then his forces, including himself, rallied. They rallied the leaders of Congress. They rallied the Black Congressional Caucus. And then it was, we're going to swing behind him. And then the forces came the other side. And we seem to be back on another, well, maybe we're going to keep Joe Biden in the race and Joe Biden's going to stay. I, you know, this is what I do for a living. This is what I study. I cannot tell you what the Democrats are going to do as of this morning. I was pretty sure 2 days ago that, especially when Joe Biden had the diagnosis of COVID, that this weekend he would step aside. He would probably throw his endorsement behind his vice president, Ms. Harris, and we'd move on from that. But as you just stated, we haven't heard anything. We don't know. I wouldn't be surprised today if he steps out. I wouldn't be surprised today if there's a rallying call to stay in the race.
You know, the other thing that obviously October 1st becomes almost a bench, you know, an important date because that's the virtual. He's the candidate as of August 1st. That's what his side of the party was really fighting for, was, hey, let's get our candidate locked down before we all meet together after the Olympics in Chicago on the 19th of August. But in a way, you know, for all the criticism of President Biden, he's handled this like a gangster, hasn't he? I mean, he's like, if you want to come for the title in a very old school, you know, mafiosa manner, this is, if you're going to take out the guy on the ticket, it's going to take more than a few rumors to the New York Times.
That's funny that you say that, because that's exactly right. I mean, if you're going to take out, you know, the current sitting president of the United States, you better succeed, because if you don't, there's going to be hell to pay within the party. And I think the individuals that are, you know, working behind the scenes to get Joe Biden off the ticket have realized this. Now, whether that means they stop pushing, I don't think that's the case. I think what individuals are seeing is, even before the first debate, Joe Biden's candidacy was in trouble. He was behind on every single one of the swing state polls. And go back 4 years, he was leading all the swing state polls going into the 2020 election. And what Democrats are worried about, they're not only worried about losing the presidency, of course, but they're worried about losing the majority within the Senate. And they're worried about downstate, you know, races. If there is no excitement for the top of the ticket, people don't come out to vote. And that hurts, you know, lower level races that are on the ballot at the same time.
But then you have these races that, you know, kind of defy what these last 7-10 years, you could say, divisive politics, red, blue states, Ohio getting more red, Florida getting more red. But then you have an abortion issue in Ohio, and that's like, well, maybe that state isn't all that red. And then you look at Senator Brown's race, and it's almost a complete... Have you ever seen when these polls come in where you have one, the top of the ticket, the top of the ballot seems to be overwhelmingly in favor of one party, but then these individual congressional and state and Senate races come up and you're like, it's very well possible that the Democrats can say, you know, we can't really resurrect Joe Biden and help that campaign, but we can still hold on to Senate seats in a year where they have a really unfortunate calendar for Democrats and right. take the House back.
Well, and I think that's right. And I, you know, what you look for is you're obviously looking for it in polling, but polling can be so fickle, especially now with individuals not answering phones. You know, it used to be 20, 30 years ago when we were doing polling, we could use statistical models and get a pretty accurate representation of what the electorate wants at that moment. Now, because polling is done largely through cell phones and through computer polls and things like that, you're missing significant portions of the population. So the degree of error in polling has gone up, and it's made it much more difficult. So if polls are not giving us an answer, we look to see what are major donors doing, right? How is the money coming in? And we've seen a shift in the last month where money is not coming in to the extent it was to the Biden campaign. And that money has shifted to lower level races for the Democrats.
You know, I'm curious as to how you look at you've dedicated your life to this craft. You've become an expert in it. You teach in it. You follow it. You're passionate about politics. At what point did you think that almost every story you could start off either in front of your class or when you're doing a media hit and say, I've never seen this before, or this is the first time this has ever happened. Why is it happening so often that we have this uncharted territory?
Well, it's funny. As a scientist, look, we look at evidence and we try and use that evidence through the scientific method to predict the future. But if the evidence doesn't match what's going on in the future, like we've never had anything like this before, obviously. We've had, you know, open conventions have happened before. We've had candidates that, you know, a sitting president decides not to run. But we've never had the situation where it's everything that's happened before is all combined within 1 month. We had an assassination attempt. We have a former president running for re-election. We have the current sitting president running for election. You know, it's all happening at once. So it's very, very difficult to make an accurate prediction, especially, you know, what are we out, 100 days from the election, to make an accurate prediction of what's going to happen in November, when in just the last 40 days, we've had historic events, not one, not two, but, you know, a number of them that could affect the race in one way or another.
So you have your unicorn instances, the lightning strikes. But what about the things that, I mean, when has a debate honestly had any relevance? You get one poll quote and that becomes almost the time capsule of that debate. One little barb back and forth. Have you ever seen one day in a campaign that has just started this domino cascading failures of confidence all the way through? And then when have conventions mattered? You know, you got a lip syncing right. Kid Rock and Hulk Hogan, like who cares? Now all of a sudden you've got this huge consequential convention in Chicago of all cities.
Well, and you're right. Especially debates, you know, if you look at the literature within political science, they rarely make a difference in the overall vote at the end of the day. What they normally can do is they can confirm a trend, right? And if there's, you know, that one line that sticks out from a debate, you know, I knew Senator Kennedy and you, sir, are not Senator Kennedy, you know, the Lloyd Benson line, that confirmed what we knew. And that moved the needle probably faster than it was going at the time. But rarely do we see a debate that changes the trajectory. And as I said, the trajectory in this race was Trump was winning, right? And this just confirmed that and made it further. But as you know, we're in modern social media times. You can pull clips out of any debate and show that your candidate did much better than they probably did, or show that the other opposition candidate did worse than they did. And people have become, you know, it's been, what, a decade and a half that we're all used to social media now. People have become immune to many of those appeals because they know that you can pull out anything you want, and they don't. So people are left going, well, you know, who won the debate? If I didn't watch, and very few people actually watch, you know, I'm just taking whatever my friends say that they saw on social media, and that might not be the accurate representation of what actually happened.
And then, of course, no one will watch unless you choke on a pretzel during the debate, and then everyone's watching that clip in perpetuity. I don't know of many people that watch the entire debate. I think you've seen the clips of the debate, which I kind of feel bad for Biden in that question, you know, with the media, because did you watch the debate? Well, I don't think you watched the whole thing, but I don't think you can avoid, you know, clips of that debate. I want to get over to the Republican side, because one of the things I took out of this convention, and it's the only thing that I would be alarmed of, I don't think there's anything there the Democrats could look at and say, you know, we can't do, you can have bigger stars, you could have more entertaining, more united, more patriotic. All those things are possible for the other party. But there was a group at...
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That RNC that I've never seen hang out with Republicans before. And I guess what I'd be curious to pick your brain on is, are we finally getting to the under the facade of the Donald Trump movement, that it really isn't a conservative movement? This populist movement, they're pulling union workers. And I mean, the RNC was full of union auto workers, Teamsters, you name it. And they're basically now saying your environmental policy is an attack on my job in the union. Your border policy is an attack on my job in the union. And I'm looking at these little wedges being built and all over what used to be the working class party. That's what it meant to be a lunch bucket Democrat. You were an FDR Democrat.
Right.
Now it's the party of San Francisco and you know, all the tech companies.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because if you look at what went on in Milwaukee, it was the solidification of the tech companies behind Trump, which,
that's,
I mean,
true.
J.D. Vance has comes right out of that. And he was, you know, anointed the vice president by the leaders of those, you know, the Elon Musk, the Peter Thiels, the Eric Schmitz, the Mark Anderson, that group. And so, you know, parties evolve, and parties always evolve. And we go through periods of relatively stable periods, but I think we're seeing a change right now with parties. If you look at the base and the platform of the Republican Party from 1980, when they nominated Ronald Reagan, to what the platform is now, it's dramatically different. Remember, Ronald Reagan was the president that had, you know, amnesty for immigrants. Ronald Reagan was the president that promoted, you know, free markets and aggressive stance against Russia and the Soviet Union. That is clearly not the Republican Party today. And, you know, and the Republicans are doing that because for about 30 years, at least post-Reagan, post H.W. Bush, starting with Clinton in 92, they have lost the majority of national elections. Now, they've won the Electoral College a number of times, but they've lost the popular vote. And so, that you know, they recognize they have to change or they're going to be a permanent minority party, and they're doing so. And I think, you know, they've been very successful at that.
You know, it's an interesting observation because there certainly was a move to get back to the tech companies have, see, you know, they're the ones with all the money right now. But if it was, it's just industry in general, get back to the business guys, get the CEOs back in here. We need more money. And I guess when we look back, everyone at 2020 is a genius, of course. But when you look back at this Trump era and you've got maybe 10, 15 years of distance behind it, I think one of the biggest miscalculations ever made was the way that the leadership of the Democrats handled Donald Trump as a candidate and as a president. Because one of the things that's really clear, even his most passionate detractors will tell you, this is a malleable guy, right? If you say right. The right things, it reminds me of like the relationship with Newt Gingrich and President Clinton, where Clinton knew exactly the buttons to push. And Newt knew where, you know, to go out there and embarrass him in the media. There was like a mutually assured destruction with the right. Two of those guys.
Right.
The attacking of Trump empowers him. And now he misses an assassination shot. And you've almost, you know, put this guy on Rushmore. Do you think that they'll look back and say, maybe if we do it 4 years with him, we're going to handle this a little bit differently?
Well, I think you're right in the extent that they made Trump this boogeyman idiot. He says these crazy things. He, you know, his speeches sometimes don't even make any sense, you know, and he has played that to his advantage, right? Trump, it's funny, Trump is as elitist as you can get. This is a son of a multimillionaire from Queens, New York, right? That right now is supported by the vast majority of people in rural backwater America, which is remarkable. I mean, the ability of Trump to do that, but he's done that through his own ability to communicate. He is a master communicator, whether the Democrats like it or not, whether the elites on either side of the aisle like it or not. He is a master communicator with America and always has been, right? That there's a reason why The Apprentice did so well. And the other side is the Democrats have not handled it well at all. Instead of portraying him as an idiot, as someone, they should have took him on his own terms and said, this is an individual that appeals well to a large segment of American society, a large segment of American society that has traditionally supported Democratic candidates, like you mentioned, blue collar workers. And they should have put forth candidates that would counter him in an effective way. Let me give you an example, right? Right now, the best communicator for the Democrats is probably Pete Buttigieg, right? He's the Secretary of Transportation.
Right. Young,
he's from smart. The Midwest. He's smart. He's, you know, if you see him on TV, anytime he's put in a debate with anybody, he wins easily. But his style of communication is different than Donald Trump's style of communication. A Donald Trump communicator would not attack on intellectual grounds, on factual grounds. They would attack on more emotional appeals. That's what Donald Trump does. Donald Trump's entire appeal has been about grievance. And all of us, whether we're liberal or conservative, feel in some way in our life we've been aggrieved, we've been wronged. Right. That's what Donald Trump appeals for in people. And that's one of the most basic understandings of emotion. The Democrats have completely missed that.
That's a brilliant observation. And the other takeaway would be when you study and look at American politics just in the last century, has populism ever been a movement that had sustainability? I always thought populism reset the table. You know, one side went too far because populism in 1858 is slavery. Populism in the 20s, sure. You know, turn of the centuries is prohibition. You can't have a perpetual party of populists, can you?
Well, let me make it broader outside the United States. If we look at democracies around the world, and not just democracies around, populism is winning, right? If you look at the appeal that Putin makes, or the appeal that Orban makes, or the appeal that many of elected leaders, whether it's Brazil or Turkey or Hungary, or it's a populist appeal. It's an anti-elitism. It's an appeal to there is a group out there that is wronging us, and I'm going to individually, me personally as a leader, I'm going to save you from that group. And if you look at Donald Trump's campaign, that's what he talks about, right? He talks about the grievances. Now, to Trump's fault, many of his grievances become his own personal grievances. And I think he would be even more successful if he made it more a you know, aggregate, instead of this person did me wrong. Instead, say this group did us wrong. That's a very effective political appeal, and that's a form of populism, whether it's left or right on the political spectrum. It does appeal, and it's doing very well in the last two decades around the world.
Peter Iacobucci, he's super smart. He's a professor of politics at Buff State. And I'm just going to say, Canisius UB, you boys better step up your game. I got something at Buff State that's rocking your world. Hey, Professor Iacobucci, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the day.
All right. God bless you. When we come back, we're going to have O'Donnell and Associates, a guy who is everywhere. Jack O'Donnell gives his opinion. He calls balls and strikes. And for the most part, both Iacobucci and O'Donnell, a lot of our experts have been spot on. We're going to ask him what's going on with the future of the Democratic ticket. What were the takeaways from the Republican convention? And going forward, if Biden survives this, this is his equivalent of an assassination attempt. I mean, professionally, they're coming after the legacy of Joe Biden, and Joe Biden is standing strong in the fire. This is pretty impressive. Hard to argue he's senile and out of it if he's navigated this coup d'etat as he's president. We'll take your phone calls, 803-0930, 1-800-616-WBEN. It's Bellavia in for Beamer on Hardline, back after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.